Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Filling up this morning, 3.28 price to beat for a gallon of gas. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, alongside a couple things trending this morning we're going to get to.
Corey Aldemir. You ever heard of that name?
No, but he won a lot of money.
He won $8 million because he's the World Series of Poker main event champ.
All right, we'll get to that and a couple of things here coming up. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first for your drive. Good morning, Faith Nezovich.
Good morning. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes at 5:20. Faith Nezovich, WTAM Traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
I like it when the traffic person calls out the construction people. Come on, now, that's affecting me. Let's get this done first. Yeah, I hear you. I like that. Cleveland 3 News weather, cloudy day, rain showers through the morning till early this afternoon, probably mid-upper 40s. Now, tonight could be a little messy. Rain mixes in with some snow, turning to snow showers overnight and 30. Your Friday, rain, snow showers early, turning to just rain in the afternoon. Just beautiful. And 40 for a high. Winter weather advisory in effect for Cuyahoga Lake, Ashtabula tonight from 7 o'clock until noon tomorrow. So it'll be a little messy overnight. You got rain, 43 at your severe weather station. This is Bill Wills. Browns are beat up, getting ready for the Lions. Cavs were shorthanded last night, losing to the Nets. Mike Snyder Sports coming up.
Keep your eyes off some app and on the road. Hear what's ahead. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Thought a pair of Kings of beating, but he didn't.
No.
A pair of Kings didn't do it.
No.
Wills and Snyder trending this morning at WTAM.com. Scooter Reese and the World Series of Poker main event last night, right?
Yes. Corey Aldemir from Germany beat American George Holmes. Final table, no limit.
We have play-by-play?
We have play-by-play. No limit. Hold'em World Championship. Here we go.
Aldemir is wrong. He's down to 9 million chips.
Ugh. This has to feel absolutely sickening. Building this huge pot. Then basically having to guess.
He calls. He is the main event champion.
He does.
He does make the call. Just Kings. Two pair, and that is it.
Wow. Just like that.
Corey Aldemir almost let it go, but he is now deservedly the 2021 main event champion.
$8 million, right?
$8 million. You see that at WTAM.com? He's got his money in front of him. He's got the little belt.
Made a big deal.
Oh, $8 million, Bill.
It used to be a bigger deal, seems like. 10, 12 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it was a bigger deal. I didn't know what was going on.
A lot of people kind of didn't.
Yeah, it just there's so much stuff going on anymore.
Right.
But when that thing, they started televising it, and it was a big deal because you could see the cards and all that sort of thing. Yeah.
There were 6,650 entries in this year's main event. Right. You know, and then flipping through.
Well, a lot of it didn't get called back because of COVID, too, right?
Right. Right. And you didn't really see it publicized that much on ESPN. Like when, you know, you're flipping through the channels, and usually they always constantly show the World Series. Hey,
so much going on.
You know, right on.
All right, $8 million. He won it last night. I see the story at WTAM.com. Scoot, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Coming up in 5, Rory O'Neill following up on the latest on the Rittenhouse trial. The Rittenhouse lawyers, they asked the judge for a mistrial yesterday. So update you on that with Rory. Coming up in 5 on News Radio, WTAM 1100. All right, we got anybody healthy in this town?
We got a lot of guys that aren't healthy, I can tell you that.
Sports, Mike Snyder.
Yeah, the Cavaliers shorthanded in a severe way, and it's not the wrong time. It's the wrong time to be that way because they are playing the NBA's elite really now over the next 3 games. Last night they got a look at the Nets, and that means James Harden. That also means Kevin Durant. Even though Kyrie Irving's not there, that combo's pretty good. And then you got guys like LaMarcus Aldridge coming off the bench.
Into the forecourt, Harden into a coral, left corner to Johnson. Johnson shovels it right back to Harden. Harden lob underneath to Aldridge, and he'll lay it in. And that'll get a timeout from J.B. Bickerstaff.
LaMarcus Aldridge with 24 off the bench helps the Nets get by the Cavs 109-99. Cavs, who trailed by as many as 23, got within 8 in the fourth quarter, but just could not get over the hump. Ricky Rubio with 25, Darius Garland 24. Kevin Love back healthy after missing 2 weeks due to COVID. He did score 11, so that helped.
It was great. Obviously a little bit of rust there, but I felt like in the second half, collectively, we competed a lot better than we did in the first half.
And tonight, a tough back end of the back-to-back, though. The Golden State Warriors playing better than anybody in the league right now. They are in town for a 7:30 tip tonight. We'll have it for you right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Cavs now 9-7. The Warriors arrive at 12-2. Well, we talk about health. We talk about Baker Mayfield, as banged up as he's ever been in his career, dealing with a shoulder issue, the foot, and the knee, and he didn't practice yesterday. He was on the field observing things, but the plan is still for him to go Sunday against the Lions. So if you're going to be out there, things got to change offensively, Baker.
I mean, all around, we just have to execute. You know, go out there and play for each other, execute the game plan, and find a way to make the plays, make enough plays to win the game.
But receivers are, well, they're shorthanded there right now. Anthony Schwartz in the concussion protocol. Donovan Peoples-Jones may have aggravated his groin injury in warm-ups yesterday. And Jarvis Landry, they've been nursing him along. He's been dealing with a knee issue. Still no word as to when Nick Chubb and Dimitri Felton will be able to return. And that's the way it is leading into the Lions game. Hey, guess what? They don't have their starting, they did not have their starting quarterback on the field yesterday. Jared Goff dealing with an oblique muscle injury, and undrafted Tim Boyle out of Eastern Kentucky took the first team reps. Now, Goff also has not been ruled out of playing this week. Browns Lions Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have countdown to kickoff beginning at 9 Sunday morning. The NFL week actually gets started tonight. New England, playing so well, will be in Atlanta. Baseball, the Indians officially become the Guardians tomorrow. Yeah, they'll be selling gear at the team shop tomorrow. Other baseball news, the Astros have agreed to a 1-year, $25 million deal with Justin Verlander, who basically hasn't pitched for the last 2 years. He has coming off of elbow surgery. And the Blue Jays' Robbie Ray and the Brewers' Corbin Burns have been named the Cy Young Award winners. Mike Snyder, WTAM.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. Rory O'Neill on the Rittenhouse trial up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Couple of headlines from yesterday. The jury deliberations continue, but Rittenhouse's lawyers asked the judge for a mistrial?
Yeah, the issue is some drone footage that was taken that day last August of last year. Apparently, when the prosecution shared the drone footage, they sent the defense a poor quality version of the video. Whether that was intentional or not is still up for debate. But the defense says they weren't able to mount the defense they wanted to because they had the lesser quality video. Now, the judge has not ruled on this request for a mistrial. They're asking for it without prejudice, meaning that if it's granted, the prosecution could then refile the charges, making that possible to do this all over again.
Five men, seven women continue to debate this. And, of course, the handicappers continue to wonder, the longer the jury deliberates, what exactly it means.
Yeah, and now with it getting into day three, this is getting interesting. Now, yesterday there was a lot of wasted time talking about getting access to this video and how much could be seen. So I'm not sure they got full day of deliberations in yesterday, but the defense has got to be getting pretty worried at this point if this keeps dragging on.
We'll see how it plays out. Rory O'Neill with the latest this morning. Jury back. We could have some news at some point today. All right, Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
A couple other headlines for you this morning on COVID. The U.S. has reached an encouraging milestone. 80% of Americans ages 12 and older have received at least one dose of the coronavirus vaccine. President Biden's coronavirus response coordinator said yesterday at the White House, estimating that in the past 10 days, at least 2.6 million children ages 5 to 11 have received their first shot. Michigan, the worst COVID-19 hotspot right now. If you're going to Michigan for Thanksgiving, be aware, just in case. Johns Hopkins University says cases for the week ending Monday were up 15% from the week before in Michigan. FDA expected to approve Pfizer booster shots for all adults sometime later this week. They could sign off on it as well at CDC. If approved, anyone over the age of 18 would be eligible for a booster shot administered 6 months since your last shot. And the Cleveland Metropolitan School is going to continue with masking staff, visitors, students, they say extended through the end of the year. And the Biden administration plans to buy some 10 million doses of the Pfizer COVID-19 antiviral pill. Regulators are weighing in on whether or not to clear that medication. It's been found greatly to help reduce hospitalizations and death. According to NBC News, federal government initially planned to buy 5 million doses of the treatment. The course requires the patient to take two pills over 5 days. President Biden told officials to double the order to see if the FDA is going to clear this thing. FDA is the treatment, they say, is found to reduce hospitalization and deaths by nearly 90%. And one final headline this morning, sailors who are denied an exemption from being vaccinated against COVID-19 have 5 days to begin the process or face being discharged from the United States Navy. They say about 1,750 sailors out of nearly 350,000 have not yet been vaccinated and could well be discharged by the Navy within the next
week. Here's some breakfast for your brain.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Okay, Thanksgiving, you better be asking people to bring something because you may not be able to find everything you need for Thanksgiving as well as the holidays. Bringing our buddy John Matarese over at News 5, kind of tracking this for us on these supply problems that may well show up around the Thanksgiving table, John.
Yeah, it's amazing, Bill. You know, these supply issues aren't getting any better. You know, when the kids all went back to school, we ran out of juice boxes and Gatorade, and we're finding the same thing right now with Thanksgiving items. Stores are reporting some spot shortages. It's not the end of the world, but, you know, you go out this weekend, you may say, hey, where's the cranberry sauce? The CEO of Ocean Spray was even on TV last week talking about it, just that they're having the same supply chain problems as everybody with the truckers, with the warehouses, not enough workers. So one of the things, as soon as people start snapping something up, then it disappears, and it takes a couple of weeks to come back. So, you know, you want to get out there now and find that cranberry sauce. Although I tell you, my kids are happy without it. I don't know about you. They're happy without the cranberry sauce. But you might want to start looking for that. Also in short supply, stovetop stuffing. A lot of people still use that. It's kind of what Mom used to use. Yeah. Stovetop turkey stuffing in the box. That's tricky to find right now. And finally, small turkeys. You get the big ones, those big butter balls that are, you know, bigger than a bowling ball, weigh as much. It's plenty of those. But a lot of couples just want a small one. Those are harder to find. Not as many small ones were produced this year. So those are the shortages with Thanksgiving. You want to get out now and not wait till Sunday to purchase them. And then finally, Christmas trees. Yeah, believe it or not. Artificial Christmas trees, a lot of them are stuck on shipping containers and boats, and there's a little bit of a shortage of both live and artificial trees.
You might have a hard time finding some lights to replace what you've got as well at these different stores.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. All these ships are going to be unloaded, and we'll have Christmas trees in mid-January where you could, you know, buy them for next year.
Yeah, exactly. Come March, there'll be more Christmas decorations than anybody knows what to do with.
John Matarese, our Don't Waste Your Money consumer guy at News 5, watching out for us as always. Watch for him. Follow him on Twitter as well as Instagram and like him on Facebook. John, thanks much.
Thanks.
Let's bring in Michael Bauer this morning. The case of Malcolm X back in the news 57 years after the assassination. What's going on here?
Well, you're seeing the two men that had been convicted in the murder of Malcolm X back in 1965 and always maintain their innocence. Two of the three men convicted will have those convictions overturned today. According to the Manhattan District Attorney, Cy Vance said the men's names will be cleared today in a move that debunks the official account by the assassination of the fiery speaker Malcolm X, who was murdered on stage in 1965 in New York City in a hail of bullets in front of hundreds of people, including his daughters and pregnant wife. But very possibly, two of the men convicted were not even on the site the night that this all occurred. Now, of these two men, Muhammad Aziz and Khalil Islam, only Aziz is still alive. Islam died back in 2009. Aziz is in his 80s, and they've been basically behind bars and have been serving time for the better part of the last 42 years. They have been in solitary confinement between the two of them. They were held in some of New York's worst maximum security prisons in the 1970s, a decade that bore witness to the Attica uprisings. One of them had six children. The other one had three. Both of their marriages fell apart, and they spent the primes of their lives behind bars. And now, according to Cy Vance, the district attorney, it looks like there's not even evidence pointing them in the direction of being in the location when this happened, let alone being involved in any sort of a murder plot against Malcolm X. And so even going back in some of these court reports, the three men that were charged and certainly convicted here, of the three of them, one of them, Muhajid Halim, was known then as Talmadge Hire and Thomas Hagen. He's somebody who on the stand said, I can tell you who was involved and I will, but it's not these two guys, and that didn't stop anything. So what we're hearing again here is that over the past 22 months, Vance's team unearthed FBI documents that would have cast doubt on the involvement of Aziz and Islam. There was evidence that was available at the time of the trial, but withheld from the defense and the prosecution. And according to Vance, they said that the FBI and the New York City Police Department had withheld that key evidence that could have led to their acquittal back then had it been handed over 55 years ago. So while you're hearing from Cy Vance that you can't undo what was done here, you can't fix, you can't remedy the situation, what you can do is acknowledge the error, the severity of the error, and finally try to wipe clean these guys' names.
This past February, new questions were raised about the NYPD's handling in the investigation. There was a letter that surfaced, been written by a former New York Police Department officer on his deathbed, talking about the different mistakes that were made in the investigation. Big-time civil lawsuits are probably going to be filed here shortly, without a doubt. All right. Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much. Appreciate it.
You got it. Stay safe, though.
More in-depth on the mask, the mandates. We've seen the masking stuff. Now it's the vaccine with the federal government notion what they want to do on companies with employees of over 100. Fox News legal analyst Sean Nendo joins me this morning. Florida, one of many states suing the Biden administration on this. It's working its way through the courts, as Rob just mentioned. This thing will eventually, you think, get to the Supreme Court, though, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's my hope, and we're at the final stage before the Supreme Court. So they consolidated all the cases around the nation, and now it's in the Sixth Circuit. Probably this week it'll be heard, and my belief is that once the Sixth Circuit, makes a decision one way or the other, that the next step will be the Supreme Court of, the United States.
Interesting. The Biden administration, if I saw the story right, they were telling employers, look, don't worry about what the courts say. You get ready to do it anyway, because we think we're going to win eventually.
Right, which I think goes against everything American, right? So I think you have to let the courts play this out. The Biden administration bypassed Congress on this one and, try to do an emergency order. And I think that the courts are going to have the final say on it, and I think it will be overturned. And that's what I've been telling employers, that I've spoken to, or, I advise, is to wait and, until the court makes the final decision.
It looks like the administration will argue, or is arguing, that this is no different than other mandates that are put in place at a workplace, Sean?
Yeah, they're trying to use an emergency exemption through OSHA. And that hasn't been used since 1983. So this is the first time since 1983 that they're using that OSHA exemption. And like I said, I don't think that it fits what a mandate is supposed to be. And I think on this one, he has a Democrat led House of Rep.
Right.
He could have went through that means and taken time and done that. But I think they're just trying to rush it, and I think they're going to be struck down, here at the Sixth Circuit is going to get struck down, and I think also the Supreme Court is going to get struck down.
Good point about not being able to do it with the legislative branch. Hey, one other legal story, and it looks like these lawsuits are going to be adding up with Travis Scott, and sadly and just horribly what happened at that concert in Houston a couple of weeks ago. And boy, there's a lot of companies that are probably looking at liability here, including Travis Scott himself, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think there were at over 200 lawsuits as we speak, and I think that the event promoters, Travis Scott, the city of Houston, I think the security companies, I think there's going to be about probably 5 to 10 different defendants that are going to possibly will be sued, and then they'll fight it out in court. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of civil liability on this case.
Another wake-up call for the entertainment industry when it comes to our safety when we're at these shows. All right, great, good legal takes. Sean, thanks much.
Thank you, sir.
Wills and Snyder and WTAM.com, Scooter Reese, producer extraordinaire. It's the Great American Smokeout Day, right?
Yes, it is. 2021, the Great American Smokeout, and you can watch a video that says it brings people together, and then also we have a message from the VA of the Ozarks.
All right, here we go.
Imagine never having to miss time with family to go smoke, or losing the momentum of your workout by stopping to catch your breath. There is a brighter future ahead that doesn't include tobacco.
It isn't easy to quit smoking, vaping, dipping, or chewing, and most people make several attempts before they're able to stop for good.
I would have started on the Chantix. That's Chantix 1. Then there was Chantix 2, and I still failed. Then Dr. Hamrick, bless his heart, offered again. I said, sure, let's do it. He said, when do you want to do it? I said, right now. And sure enough, I got it in the mail within a week. And I went on it and stayed on it the whole time, and I finally made it. I don't want smoking, but it was very difficult. I was surprised that it was that darn difficult to stop. It's a true addiction.
Every attempt brings freedom from tobacco use closer because you learn what works and what doesn't work for you. So whether you've tried once, twice, or 15 times, take the lessons you've learned and try quitting again with new tools and a new approach.
About 34 million American adults still smoke cigarettes. Mm. And Mike Snyder, you kicked it. But
it was one of the most difficult things I hear. Anyone that's a smoker, that giving it up, right, just hearing that sound bite there, one of the most difficult things I did. I really didn't realize the addiction of it till I really said, okay, I got to stop. And my wife convinced me, hey, you got to do this. It's been many years now. When, right before we got married, she said, hey, I don't want you to smoke
so
anymore.
That was the challenge.
Now,
and, did cold turkey? Did you?
Yeah, I went cold turkey.
Really, that's it.
You'll notice, though,
Mike loves toothpicks. Yes. And that's why.
That's
interesting.
What I've done over the years. So I keep it around. But it was very difficult, Bill. I remember, and I thought, it took a while. And I know anyone that, when you try,
right,
you might go a week or two, or you might feel worse. And you'll say, what am I? I'm coughing. But you stay with it if you just hang in there. Because I know for me, it was not easy.
Right. Good words of wisdom. So today is the day. If you want to give it a try, this is the day a lot of people aren't at least trying. It's the traditional day before Thanksgiving.
And I'm very glad that I did.
All right, pal. That story's there for you to see at WTM.com. Scoot, thanks much.
You're welcome.
And now, 5 good minutes.
I joined the Navy 2 days after Pearl Harbor. I volunteered the day of Pearl Harbor. I was on the way to Chicago to meet the general manager of Cleveland Indians. When I crossed the river at the Quad Cities, Davenport, Moline, Rock Island, and East Moline, I heard about Pearl Harbor. I made a phone call, and Gene Tunney flew out on Monday, and I signed up Tuesday, went to War College, went aboard the battleship Alabama.
The late, great Bob Feller, and that is history. Tonight, the Bob Feller Act of Valor Foundation will have a virtual ceremony in what has become a very moving and emotional thing, and a rewarding night for some when it comes to the Navy and the heroes of so many wars in the past, especially World War II. Let's bring in for now, and it still says Senior Vice President Public Affairs of your Cleveland Indians, Bob DiBiase, on the hotline this morning. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Bob, good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, that clip you just played, Bill, such a remarkable story. He was a youngster in his early 20s, had already won 100 games in the major leagues and going to sign what would probably be the most lucrative contract in baseball at the time. But he felt the service to his country was way more important after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So he was the first professional athlete to enlist in World War II, and thus the creation of the Bob Feller Act of Valor Foundation, which is involved in the Bob Feller Act of Valor Awards ceremony. This will be our ninth annual, our second year in a row, that we will be doing a virtual ceremony. It is free, so we ask those interested, you can go to actofvalorAward.org to register, and again, it's free. It opens at 7:30 with a chat room with military and baseball personnel. And then the program, it's a one-hour program, starts at 8 p.m. And it's really a fun thing.
Bob, you've shared several times, though, the relationship the late, great Bob Feller had with the Navy. And when you were first called about this and the impressions you had when you would get a chance to go to D.C., I mean, Bob Feller and the Navy, there's a long relationship, right?
Absolutely. The story of Bob is still a touchstone for the U.S. Navy, and especially Chief Petty Officers, which is the rank that Bob achieved serving aboard the USS Alabama and earning battle stars. In his 4 years of service, he began his service, guys, helping to get young men enlisted to fight in World War II. His recruitment was broadcast nationally. He played some exhibition games early on, and then he went to his superiors and said, I did not sign up to do this for a length of time. I served to get into combat and serve my country. And he became a gunnery on the USS Alabama. We normally do this event in normal times at the U.S. Navy Memorial. It's a wonderful evening. Unfortunately, last 2 years, it's been a virtual ceremony, but we have stories from across the globe. Some of our winners are on ships across the globe. This is broadcast to thousands of military personnel in addition to civilian population. And so, again, you can just go to ActiveValorAward.org and sign up for free. And Yogi Joe Torre is our Hall of Fame honoree. Griffin Jacks, pitcher of the Minnesota Twins, is an honoree tonight in the Major League Baseball category. This young man is the first Major League pitcher to ever have graduated from the Air Force Academy. Joshua Sawyer, who is our Chief Petty Officer Award winner, First Sergeant Daniel Best is our Jerry Coleman United States Marine Corps honoree. It's a fun night, an hour-long program. Dive in at 7:30 for a chat room. Exciting and fun evening ahead.
Great night, Bob. You know, in the years that I got to talk to Bob Feller and the privilege to talk to him, but he served for, was it over 3.5 years or thereabouts? Was that right, Bob? Some in terms of the time?
Yes, sir.
And you look at him in his prime of his career, but and you look at how many wins, you know, that he could have had on the field, but he said it was only mattered, the only win that mattered was 1-0 as he looked at the real world. And he was always used that answer, and that was so accurate, and that's how he really felt about it. But you look at his career on the mound, as great as it was, my gosh, three, almost four prime years that you know, he wasn't able to pitch as he was fighting and for the battle for the one win that did matter most.
Well, that's what he would always say in the press box or in press dining. The only win that mattered was World War II. And if you take the 4 years prior to his service and the 4 years after his service and just average out the number of wins, you could easily determine he would have had anywhere between 85 and 100 victories added to that total, and would have easily put him in the 350-60 range or somewhere.
Wow.
Would have had him up at the very top with the elite. We consider him arguably one of the greatest right-handed pitchers in the history of baseball, if not one of the greatest pitchers who threw from either side of the mound. But to honor him with this sort of tribute and foster his legacy as both a baseball player, the focus of this foundation is to make sure we don't forget the greatest generation and try to educate the youngest generation to the importance of service to others and service to your country in time of need. We have an educational aspect to this foundation. We're giving 6 scholarships out this evening to military children, youth of military children or veterans who want to go back to a 2-year or 4-year institution. But a beautiful night honoring the greatest name in our franchise history and his role. And wonderful story about service to others.
ActiveValorAward.org. I'm looking at the website right now. Easy to register and be a part of it this evening at 7:30. You going to drop some swag tomorrow off for us? We going to get a Guardian hoodie tomorrow morning?
I'm hoping. I don't think it'll be me personally.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. All right. You know, okay.
Getting up at 6 a.m. 2 days in a row, Bill.
I remember those days you'd come in here, Bob. Now I do that.
Well, now he's a senior vice president of public affairs for your Cleveland Indians, and tomorrow the Guardians officially. With the team shop selling all that great stuff tomorrow morning. Good enough. All right, Bobby D., thank you much for your time.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
655 at News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Thanks for being there. I don't have to tell you, there are problems in society. We live in a broken world. I've often thought to myself, we all can't do everything to fix what's going on in life, but if we all did something, it can make an impact. Did you know that 6 out of 10 children in Cleveland, 6 out of 10 grew up in homes where there's no father present?
Bill Wills, something you can tell somebody today.
There's an organization I came across that you might be interested in helping in some way because they're trying to do something about it. Mark Rain is kind enough to join me as the developmental director of the Joshua and Caleb Leadership Foundation. Mark, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. Good morning.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much. It's a great pleasure to be with you today.
Just that stat, 6 out of 10 kids in Cleveland grew up in a house with no father. I mean, the breakdown of the family, the structure, I said we all look around, we see these problems in society. Tell me about the foundation, though, the Leadership Center, what you guys are trying to do to help.
Well, thanks for your time today, Bill. Yeah, this idea that kids are growing up without fathers is devastating. We know that it means they'll have a much higher propensity to have behavioral disorders and drop out of school, even thoughts of suicide, aggression, being a runaway. So we're doing our best with God's help to make a difference in these kids' lives. So what we do is we raise up adult mentors and we train them to be the mentors in the lives of these teens and children in Northeast Ohio who are growing up in homes where there's no father present. And we hope through our efforts that it's making a difference.
Faith-based organization, I can see from several stories, I saw a great piece that Channel 5 did on you guys and some other things that I've looked at. You're obviously making a difference. What do you need? You need men to help? You need funds, that sort of thing?
Yeah, both. So men and women. So we mentor both young boys and young girls. So obviously we match up males with males and females with females. We need funding. We sure could. If people are feeling generous this time of year, we'd love to have donations, and I can share our website and maybe phone number a little bit later. But what we do is really spend time with these young people and really speak into their lives and encourage them and tell them there is hope and teach them the ways of life.
How do you find the child, the young kid to help? Are they pointed out to you? Are they sent to you? How does that happen, Mark?
Yeah, our foundation is relatively young. We're about 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out of a small school called Luther Memorial School, which is on Pearl Road on the Near West Side. And through their administration, we started uncovering these kids in that neighborhood. And now we spread out a little bit. We work closely with the Lutheran High School Association, Lutheran High School East, Lutheran High School West. And we get referrals that way and kind of through word of mouth. And right now we have between 15 and 16 young people. We call them apprentices. Still waiting for mentors, and we just don't have any mentors to line them up with. So we sure would love to have adult men and women sign up for that.
So these are kids that know they need help, that know they want to go down the right path in life, but they just need some direction.
Yeah, that's right. These kids are willing. We kind of vet them. We want kids who want to be in the program, and as you can imagine, sometimes that's a bit of an ordeal, but we happily do that. And we work with the mentors, too. We'll train you. We'll work with you. We'll, frankly, vet you. You'll go through an FBI check because we want to make sure,
sure,
all of that lines
sure
up. And then we'll set you to work with these kids.
JoshuaCalebLeaders.org, that's the website you want to send people to?
Yeah, that's right. There's no "and" in the website. So it's JoshuaCalebLeaders.org. It's a really good website, really easy to use across the top with different ways to get involved. And there is a donate button across the top, and we sure would appreciate any funds that could help us this time of year.
As I said, we all can't do everything, but if we all just do something in some way in society, maybe we'll be a better place for all of us. Great stuff. One more time, Mark, the website?
Yeah, JoshuaCalebLeaders.org. JoshuaCalebLeaders.org.
Interesting. Want to find out more? Get there now. Mark Rain, I appreciate your time, and let me know about this, okay?
Bill, thanks so much for the time.
Minute till 7, News Radio, WTAM 11.
Thanks for listening to Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. If you miss an interview, find it later on the Wills and Snyder Daily Podcast on WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
Play cards. Pair of kings, pretty good, but not good enough, right, Scoop?
Not good enough because Corey Aldemir from Germany, he won the 2021 World Series of Poker main event. Here we go.
If Aldemir is wrong, he's down to 9 million chips.
Ugh. This has to feel absolutely sickening, building this huge pot, then basically having to guess.
He calls, he is the main event champion.
He does.
He does make the call. Just kings. Two pair, and that is it.
Wow. Just like that.
Corey Aldemir. Almost let it go, but he is now deservedly the 2021 main event champion.
At the final no hold'em limit table for the world championship in Vegas. 223rd hand, if you keep in track.
Yeah, right? He had the two pair, Bill, tens and sevens. Yeah, besting Holmes' pair of kings, but hey. Holmes came in second, but guess what? He gets $4.3 million as a runner-up. I think that's very, very well.
That ain't bad at all. All right, WTAM.com, you can see that, and the World Series of Poker. Good enough. Thanks, Scoop.
You're welcome.
And
the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy. All right, 724, Faith Nezovich each week goes over to our Cleveland APL. We have a featured furry friend that needs a home and a few tips on the holidays, and, you know, most of us didn't do this last year, so
we had
Thanksgiving and pets, too. Tell me about Elsa here first.
We've got Isla, and if you go to WTAM.com, keyword APL, you're going to see some adorable photos. Now, they had a little fun with her. She, unfortunately, has been at the APL for one full year. So we'd really like to find a home for Isla for the holidays. So she's 4 years old and unfortunately came to the 8th PL through Humane Investigations.
Okay.
And we know that means it was not a great situation.
She's had a rough start,
right. She was kept crated in a house, mostly crated with several other dogs. So they were very under-socialized, very fearful dogs. So staff and volunteer have really spent a lot of time with her and just trying to get her out of her shell, get her comfortable being around people, get her comfortable being around different people.
Okay.
So just doing a lot of that work every day, doing a little bits at a time, sending her to a foster home to continue that, to get her used to being in a home. I mean, think about it. She was kept in a cage, so she didn't know how to jump up on a couch. She didn't know how to do stairs. So the foster family did a lot of that everyday stuff that you just kind of take for granted when you have a dog.
Thank them for their patience.
That's actually part of the family. So she really has gotten so much better. She loves to play with other dogs. So if you are looking maybe to add another dog to the mix, she would love another dog to play with. And really, she just needs someone that knows that she's going to take a little bit of time to get comfortable and, you know, work her way into your heart and into your home. So WTAM.com, keyword APL for Isla, and you can see they did an adorable job with her, just dressing her up in a little celebratory.
Thank you, APL.
Celebratory.
Let's find her
outfit.
A home.
Right.
She is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Okay, now you have some featured furry friends around the house, and you're going to have some humans.
Yes.
That maybe not be such featured furry friends when they show up for Thanksgiving. I don't know. But just a couple of reminders about safety, right?
Right. Okay. Thanksgiving, you know, everyone's part of the family, and that includes our animals, but you want to make sure that they're safe. If they're fearful, like a dog like Isla, you might want to give them a little safe place to go while you have other people in the home. They might not be used to it anymore. Think about that,
Point. You're right, yeah.
And best thing to do is keep the human foods away from your animals.
Don't take a
really
chance.
You know, that's the safest thing. If you want to give them a little something, just a little bit of turkey, not on the bone, just a little bite of turkey, no skin. Remember that onions and garlic and all of that is toxic to cats and dogs. No raw bread dough. I don't know who would do that, but I mean, maybe by accident, you know, no sweets or anything like that. So maybe get them a special treat, you know, every pet store has a themed toy.
Oh, you can spend. Yes, yes, yes. Guilty as charged. So, you can get them something for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Right. Don't worry. They got plenty in there for you.
I'm sure there's squeaky turkey legs out there that you could buy, and that's a much better choice than a real turkey leg. So WTAM.com, keyword APL, and meet Isla, and see if maybe you can take her home for the holidays.
Faye, thank you for every week reminding us about the APL and the work you do over there, too.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Best Browns coverage now. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside former Browns lineman Dave Willibaugh checks in with us every Thursday. And brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get a super low home equity loan at Dollar Bank. Visit dollar.bank or call 800-242-BANK, equal housing lender. Dave, good morning, pal.
Morning, guys. How are you today?
We're good. Hey, before I forget, Jack and Duke, they got Louisville tonight, right?
Yeah. We're probably heading out here shortly, and we'll be down in Durham. Hopefully we'll get out of this rain, and it's supposed to be pretty warm down there tonight. Yeah, so looking forward to that game.
Good luck against Louisville, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Good luck on it. Well, Dave, what do we do here about these Browns right now? They are kind of in a corner here. They've got the winless Lions in town, but, boy, I'm looking at injuries to all these skill positions. Baker's banged up. What do you see? What do they need to do here?
Well, I tell you what, I think this is a game that it's always one of those trap games. I remember when I was with Coach Parcells, you'd walk in a building, there'd be like big, huge mousetraps painted the color of the team you're playing hanging from the ceiling because this is a trap game. By all accounts, they should win it. They should win it handily. But to your point, they're limping in there with injuries, so I think they got to go out early, execute their game plan, put some points on the board, and get guys off the field and get them recovered for the later part of the season.
Dave, you look at the offense, and it looks like right now, and I'll knock on wood, it looks like the line is finally, you know, getting healthy there with Conklin able to get work in, and we've got that group maybe intact, and the tight ends seem to be intact right now. Off of that, though, boy, question marks at wide receiver. We don't know about the running game. I mean, Dearness Johnson's done a nice job, but you watch Baker right now. He just, you know, he's not moving like he needs to. So what do they do? I mean, the Lions are going to obviously come in to try to shut down the run. They want to make him throw, right?
They do, but I think you hit on the key there, one of the first comments you made about the tight ends. We have a very talented group of tight ends. All of them are fantastic receivers, and I think you can implement them into the game plan, and you can really get some of those shorter, quicker routes open in space, you know, relatively quick. That way you're moving the ball. It's just as predictable as a run in a lot of cases, and also, too, you're getting rid of the ball quickly so the quarterback's not taking hits.
You know, you look at where we are in the season in the AFC, well, even the NFC as well, although it's a little top-loaded there. But the AFC, this thing's wide open, Dave, isn't it?
It is. It's literally watch it hour by hour, not week by week, but hour by hour, because, you know, you look at the Bengals, they're at top of the heap last week, and now they're at the bottom, you know, and it's just literally all just bunched up. So it's going to be key to get everybody healthy and to win these games where you clearly have an advantage, because it's going to be a dogfight come December.
You know, you look at this, you got the Lions this week, as you say, hey, I don't care how banged up, you got to beat them. And then you get this weird sequence where you play at Baltimore, you get a bye while they meet the Steelers, and then you come off the bye and host Baltimore. This is the stretch here. If the Browns are going to kind of right things for a stretch run for a playoff berth, this is the time, isn't it?
It is, because, I mean, the key is, you know, when you look at the way the season breaks down, and this is, I mean, it's not anything, you know, profound to say, but you have to win your home games, and you have to win in your division. So, again, you know, when you look at this stretch of the season where you got Baltimore coming up in the end of the season, I mean, those are conference games, your division games. You have to win those games just to give yourself a chance. And then you got to take care of your business when you're in your house. So, you know, that's they're going to have to earn every one of their games, their wins at the end of the stretch here. So.
All right. Have a good trip down to Duke. Enjoy that turnpike. I'm sure you've paid your fair share over the years.
Hopefully I'll see something I haven't seen in the last several years.
All right, pal. Be good. Thanks a lot. See you, buddy.
Thanks,
Best Browns coverage. Dave Willibaugh, good guy. Every Thursday morning joins us talking Browns. And son Jack's down at Duke up for the Remington Award, which is a great honor for a
That's
college
outstanding.
Center. And also.
That's outstanding.
757. Hey, real quick on the on Detroit. I guess you plan on golf, but they're not sure. As far as their starter, right?
Yeah. He didn't practice yesterday.
But this Boyle kid, I was reading, he was like at UConn. He transferred to Eastern Kentucky. And his stats are like, you know, and I don't know, the Eastern Kentucky is a big powerhouse.
Yeah, well, and Green Bay took a look at him. I mean, they're all projecting.
He's a couple years in the league.
Yeah,
Well, I mean, you see teams now across the league. The Jets are going back to Joe Flacco this week. And that's where it is. You know, look, the Browns are supposed to win this game. They should win this game, whether it's Goff or whoever, you know, whoever is back there. You take care of your business. You find a way. Bill, this stretch here is it's there, but it's there. The opportunity is still in their hands, but they've got to just go play better. And if you're out there, you know what? I don't know if you're banged up. You're out there.
Well, talk to the guy that scored a touchdown last week, tomorrow morning.
That's Austin Hooper. And those tight ends. Yeah, they're, well, that's where I see some, Dave put it up. That's where there's some hope for some playmakers for the offense this week.
Want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's Morning News on Cleveland's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
He picked the Motley Crue version.
Yes, the Motley Crue version is better.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. This is Bill Wills, Mike, and Scooter Reese, producer extraordinaire. Today's the National Smokeout Day.
Yes.
For the Great American Cancer Society promotes this. It's a day a lot of people set aside. They try and kick the habit.
Filters to the left, non-filters to the right. Pipes, top and center.
I haven't seen anybody smoke a pipe in my life.
Oh, goodness. not since the Old Spice, man.
Oh, my goodness. A pipe.
The old man at the sea. How about a pipe? That's good.
Mike Snyder, you kicked the habit years ago.
I did, yes, before I got married.
Janice said, here's the deal. I do the bank account, you quit smoking.
You quit smoking. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I did. But
it's worked well for all these years.
It's worked well. But I'll tell you,
it's tough.
It was difficult. It really was.
I just never had the desire to put something in my mouth and light it up.
Well, today it's a very important day, Bill and Mike. And you know what? Thoughts and prayers to out
if
those.
If you're trying it, good luck.
If you're trying to quit and today, God bless you. Good luck. And it's hard. It's hard. And
it
just
is.
Fight
and
it.
Hang in there. And if you can, you know, just go day by day with it. That's all you could really do. And I know it was a while. And I'll tell you what, it was years, I must say, before I said, well, boy, would that maybe if I just had one with a cup of coffee or if I, you know, have a drink and I'd say, boy, just to get that out of my mind. Right. Now, I mean, it's been years I haven't even really thought about it. But I know it took a long time to even get to that point. But I'm so glad I stayed with it, and I feel like I've been a lot healthier because of that.
We got more and some tips, too, at Wills and Snyder Facebook.
Yep. Check it out at the Wills and Snyder Facebook page, and you can look at the message from the Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks.
Good. Cam's update time from News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Tim Alcorn called it last night, a 109.99 loss. Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Earlier access to pay your for your pay or extra cash on standby. This is Huntington reinvents banking. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Well, you know what? We're having trouble with health at our Browns and Cavs as well last night. Just shorthanded. It just shows you the importance of health, right, Tim?
No, there's no doubt about it. That was a depleted Cavs lineup and roster last night, and yet they battled. I mean, here's this Brooklyn team that's really smarting after a loss to Golden State the night before where they got hammered. So they came out with a bit of an attitude, but the Cavs never withered. They stayed right there. I think they just didn't have enough bodies.
Yeah, at the end of the night, Tim, that really summarizes it. It's great to see them fight like they did. They got it down to single digits in the fourth quarter. It would have been easy to pack their bags and say, well, we'll play tomorrow. But they didn't. Boy, Ricky Rubio has just, I'll tell you, Tim, I think about when that deal was announced or came down on draft night, I would have never guessed that he would have the impact that he's having with this team. He's just been really the leader, hasn't he?
Well, I think, Mike, just to use your word there, I think everybody initially thought he was being brought in as a leader to kind of mentor these guys and not to take anything away from his play on the floor, but it's the way that he has performed. I mean, the points and the assists and the moxie. I mean, he has just been incredible as far as his performance level is concerned. So, yeah, that turns out to be an unbelievable deal for the Cavaliers, and let's hope Ricky can keep it going because he's been just tremendous. tremendous so far.
And Kevin Love was back, so at least one of the big guys back. But boy, this stretch here, Golden State tonight, and then next week Brooklyn, and then Red Hot Phoenix. But the Warriors come in, Tim, just looking at some of their notes. I mean, they're not only playing better than anybody in the league right now, it's by a mile they're playing better than anybody else. It's not even close.
And it's by a mile where Steph Curry shoots from.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, he just lets it fly from anywhere. I mentioned during the broadcast last night, I had to study the thesaurus on the plane ride back to come up with new adjectives and accolades to describe Steph Curry. He's just incredible. But it's not just Steph. Everybody's playing very, very well. And to your point, Mike, they're just blitzing the league right now. They are having an unbelievable start to the season.
Now, let's hope you don't use all them words tonight. But, boy, you're right. It's just going to be tough tonight, you know? It really is.
It is. Now, I see he's had a little hip issue. They list him as questionable, but
yes.
He likes playing here, though. I got a feeling we'll see him tonight, but
yeah, but
we'll see.
I have a feeling he'll be on the floor as well. But you know what? This gritty Cavs bunch, let's see how they respond.
Yeah, go out. You got nothing. Play. No one thinks you got a shot. Go out there and play. And you know, to use that word, that's something that JB uses, grit, and that team has showed me that this year.
Oh, there's no doubt. They've showed a lot of character, a lot of determination. Mike, you made the point earlier. Very easily could have said, let's pack our bags, get on the plane, head home. They got that thing down to 8 a couple of times in the fourth quarter after trailing by 23. Hats off. Great job.
Strange things happen in November and February in this league, traditionally. So let's see what happens tonight. All right, 7:30, tip-off, WTAM 1100 and the iHeartRadio app. Tim Alcorn on your cams this morning. We'll talk to Jim Jones tomorrow morning. Thanks, Tim.
All right.
8:58, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. This is Bill Wills. Thanks for being there. Back in the morning. Best Browns coverage, Austin Hooper. We'll try and keep him healthy. He'll join us at 7:45. Football Friday, talk some Buckeyes, too. They got Michigan State. Big night for high schools as well. News, weather, sports, traffic, and weather together all tomorrow morning, 5 to 9. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Have a good day. Geraldo in Cleveland.